attitude in there?
Yeah, a little more latitude in there to provide for payment of a dividend, even though they may have borrowed money. So while they're in their cash flow, so we'll be bringing that in.
Oh, he's gonna bring it in?
Yeah. Now, let's call Bill, the major change is on page two, and that's...
Well, this is in the sheet, right?
Number 13, everything else is the same way.
Page two, number 13?
Yeah, make donations to the public welfare for charitable scientific or educational. Any problem?
No problem.
Any problem with it? Okay. Power...
Now, who makes the decision, for example, for...
For the annual meeting, you know?
Nilo, what do you see as the driving force on this legislation?
Well, page three...
Where are we gonna get to?
Yeah, page three, you see four and five. This represents a compromise, and they essentially wanted to operate a heating distribution system, period. Kelly wanted to make it operate a waste heat distribution system. Well, part of it is that Golden Valley is interested in the possibility that they may have to purchase Fairbanks Municipal Utility. And Fairbanks Municipal includes a district heating system, which is all back to the purpose part of the power plant. These two, number five would permit them to do that with FMUS. Number four would mean that a thermal plant, either operated by gas or coal, could operate a waste heat. In other words, whatever the production could be sold.
First indication.
You wouldn't permit them to set up a heating. Myself, my own feeling is, I think that's a great idea.
Ready first is...
Kelly. I don't know.
I haven't touched this machine yet. So if I'm supposed to do this, you guys...
It doesn't need to be that pure, because I think after a long sit...
So that's one. The next one is another one. It used to say, by an affirmative vote, majority of the members voting on the adoption amendment or repeal, either at a meeting of the members or by mail ballot without a meeting.
Where are you at? On the bottom.
Yeah.
Notice of a meeting, okay.
So it says bylaws. 29 on page three.
And that's where I'm sure I bust this out right now. You know how it is, how much you can even...
This one has some problems, some people have complained about it. More than cooperative members, shall adopt. Majority of the members voting on the question.
This was, turned out, a friend of mine brought me this, and this is the closest I've gotten to lunch.
Is that all?
Yes, it was one of those.
In other words,
I have a potato that I cooked.
That in any way this is proposed, it means that a majority of the members at any given meeting can adopt, amend, or repeal the bylaw. And that means members voting, it doesn't necessarily mean a majority of the membership.
So I mean, they say majority of the present, is that what it said?
Yeah.
That could not help, that could help you somewhere.
Yeah, so I have problems with that, and I think, I mean, it's all by...
I said it happens to everything else, you can look in there, real good about it.
Can't stop. Who said that today? Will you stop speaking?
The old meaning is that the members... And... Vote by mail ballot without, have to vote on the mail ballot without a meeting, they don't. So that's one of the...
Now, the old way is they could mail by ballot without a meeting.
Yeah, they could do it either at a meeting or by a mail ballot.
She has two buttons.
Require membership, can they charge the non-members a higher rate?
I think not. I think that was one of the questions. They have in the past, I think, the federal tax.
Good.
I think it also means that if someone doesn't, probably the bylaws will provide if somebody doesn't pay their fees and they can drop the membership, therefore they are not eligible for service.
Yeah, well, pretty much, yeah. Well, it's one of those situations where you have to force the issue, I guess. You can't have Maverick type something. In co-op land, it's basically...
Well, any business, yeah. That's keep going, you can. These are the ones, they tighten up the notice of meeting by saying not only they have to be given the purpose for the meeting, but that every member shall, either member or district delegate, either personally or by mail, not less than 90 days or more than 120 days before the date of the meeting. So it makes sure that your special meeting can't be called without less than 90 days of notice.
That seems like a long time, doesn't it,
Neil? I mean, why did they want such a long
time? They want to slow down acquisitions primarily. They're afraid that people can, outside company come in and offer to buy out the co-op. And if everybody lined up, so they didn't want to give people a cooling off period. I can mark that and ask for that kind of magazine.
Well, I can understand them for 90 days.
Right.
certain aspects of public business and then co-op, you need that extra
90 days?
Yeah. I mean,
well, we can ask what kinds of matters they want. I mean, I'd imagine other special meetings that you might want to call.
Yeah.
Well, what will happen is that the co-op, the board of directors, will just have to set up, you know, a regular time and say there will be a meeting, and then I don't know what.
Well, they're supposed to have regular meetings anyway.
Yeah. I don't have any problem, I guess, on the 90 days if that's their annual meeting, you know. But I think it would, if they're not talking about the board every time they're having a meeting.
No, they're talking about the
annual,
general
membership meeting. Yeah, general membership meeting. That's a long.
Each member is entitled to one vote, meaning in the membership. Each member of a district is entitled to one vote on each matter submitted to a board of district meeting. That's things like Golden Valley, which are put up in a district. A member may not vote by proxy, in other words, you can't give your proxy to people, but may vote by mail if the bylaws provide it, not otherwise. We could limit proxies. I presume that some of the co-ops have had proxy voting. Now, for instance, the Republican Party, I know in the Democratic Party of the district meeting, you can't carry a proxy, but if somebody comes to the meeting, they can leave a proxy with the person, and the person can carry up to 3 proxies obtained from people who have been in attendance at the meeting. But in the bad old days, Alex used to send people around and pick up a whole pocket full of proxies and just say, 30 votes for so-and-so.
Yeah, right, yeah. What's the control?
Yeah, so that you can see why they want to outlaw proxies. On the other hand, somebody shows up and it's a dull meeting.
Well, I'm afraid, though, that when you're too stringent here on some of these things, they'll never ever have a meeting because they'll never have enough people to.
Right.
Which is okay in some ways, too, if that's how you're trying to take over an organization.
Well, one of the alternatives, of course, is getting sort of allowing them or requiring them to vote by mail. That's been the old 07 law.
Well, what's the safeguard to voting by mail?
That way at least you know that every member's got a chance to vote whether they exercise it or not.
But does this mean however many members that times, did they have to request the vote?
Well, what happens in Golden Valley is that they don't have a quorum at a meeting, and they have to send the question out. If it's a bylaws question or an election question, they send the ballot out, and then they count the ballots when they come back in. And frankly, many of the districts, a lot of people always vote by mail.
To get some fresh air, lose the
paper. You're going to fall asleep, huh?
Go ahead, I'll just sit here by the door.
All right. Go out and roll in the snow, Cliff. Come on. Real Kodiak man there.
Well, this building, I think it's overheated. I think if you require more clothes, turn down the heat and save on the heating bill and raise their salaries.
We have a problem in the 125, that section A. I think that's a grammatical problem. It says to determine the members entitled to notice of a meeting. Board of directors may fix in advance the date as the record date of for the determination. In other words, the people who are members at a given date would not be allowed to vote on a question at the record date. The record date is not fixed for the determination of members of the board. I can't even read that. It's a mess of words. Anyway.
The record date is not fixed for the determination of members entitled to notice of a meeting or to vote on a matter. The date on which notice of the meeting or mail voting is first mailed.
Is the record
the date on which the meeting on which notice of the meeting
is.
I have a problem with the idea of saying, okay, we have, at this date, we have 125 members.
Yeah.
She's coming in the office right now.
You know, unless they say, you know, 1975, we had 125 members, and he's the only one able to vote on it. Yeah. And nobody who's joined since is.
Numbers problem.
A big run in a hurry.
Yeah.
So here, the current, that's 120. Yeah, so the 25-110 has a quorum requirement. So we don't have that, and that there's no change to put on that. Notice upon the quorum of voting. The voting is changed. And then there's section 125 added on the record date. So that's the new section, the record date.
125 is the new section?
Yeah. 1025. Okay, board of directors, they can remove them for cause. And says each day of attendance can be, or the meeting when officially representing the cooperative, in other words, at a time when somebody. This allows for payment to per diem if they have to go to some conference. And they provide an assurance. Question is cost on that one. Liability insurance. And that's a demand of some directors to deal with, and they don't know enough about one.
Same, you know, we have that liability bill going through on the permanent fund.
Yeah.
Board. Isn't we have that in state fair?
So,
yeah, there's more boards and more things that are concerned on this liability side where they, of course, they want to be exempt and have state and making a decision on the permanent fort or putting funds somewhere and then it comes back that, you know, it didn't work out, someone sues them for it. All that business.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, this is a similar business here in New York?
Right.
They want to.
And then that section 9 is all new.
Yeah, but you don't, I don't think we want to make it so that, you know, you overprotect board members, because some board members are, they mean they should run through the. So have we tightened it up so much that no board member would ever get. I mean.
Protected person is not individually liable for conduct performed within the scope of the person's duty to the department. Not only protected person. However, the protected person may be held individually liable for conduct if it is, was not reasonable for the person to believe that the conduct was in best interest of the cooperative and not contrary to the best interest of the cooperative.
So I guess in that you'd have to prove that it was not a conscious decision. Right. Create some lawyer's job security on that one.
Same thing as the indemnification, that's the part that allows the insurance to be purchased for a board member. It also, I'm sure, means, yeah, there it is. Protected person means a director, officer, employee, or agent of a cooperative. Financial factor, labor negotiations and personnel matters, bids, trades, and other confidential commercial information, and discussion of litigation. A certain amount of some of that's covered by 3, but this is being more. Subject discussed in executive session. We could want to have legal limit that to those sections of the books and record where the confidential matter is discussed.
Where are you at, Neil?
Well, that's at 235, section 15.
Section 235.
Members right to examine books and records.
Question is, how broad do we want to make it? You know, if there's a meeting at which they discuss something confidential, does every minute book for that year, I mean, the whole minute book for the year, all the other meetings, are those confidential, or do we want to limit it to that, having that material come separately from the others? We can discuss. I would favor keeping properly confidential matter confidential, but then if some management decides they overextend it, that's an impossible problem. Bottom of the page is merger. Are there any of these questions that we should ask more questions of Mark, or do we want to propose some changes and think about it? Look at the bill and they get a better idea about it. Okay. The bill was adopted in 1959, the year I graduated
from high school.
There is some need for bringing it up today. The question is, you know, are we giving one group or another too much power, or are we limiting it?
Well, I'm not being very productive, so, and I'm late to pick up my wife, so I'll just come by and talk.
Think of, you know, Barbara has to be a Democratic member to be participation, but also have competent people elected to head it, so the question is, what's the best way of achieving a balance?
Right, how do you not make it too difficult for those who get involved to stay involved? To make it so easy so that some pig comes and takes the litter. Okay. Well, sir.
And there aren't too many problems.
Yeah. So, a lot of support.
Cliff has to go.
Yeah.
And I think we'll try and meet next week. But if you could take a copy of the bill and just read through it, remembering that we want to maintain the cooperatives as economically viable units, and that's supposed to have membership participation, but we want to make sure we have responsible people heading it. Beyond that, I don't
No. You know, what was the issue that they wanted to address that they talked to me about something in the bylaws, the way it is now, that you cram everybody in a building and then 51% of the membership can change it, or
Yeah, well, the first attempt, one of the problems is co-ops have grown. It's become very difficult to get all the members at an annual meeting. Now, one of the approaches they had was having districts set up. Well, some of the co-ops, the districts are all different sizes. You know, one district may have 100 people, another one have 5,000 people, and they have an equal number of votes at the board. I mean, so that's not quite fair.
Oh. I have a teleconference coming at 2, that's another problem.
See you later.
And the original bill was passed in 1959, territorially. There have been a few amendments, like allowing mail ballot since then. But there's a question of dissolution and consolidation of cooperative, acquisition of other utilities, as in the case of the survey community. There's this whole liability question about officers and board members. And there's also the fear that the way the old statutes were, that a, you know, Alaska was going to come and offer to buy out Matt's telephone and you know, get people all jazzed up to vote for that because they were going to get their share of the money when the cooperative was dissolved. And, you know, they sort of packed the meeting with those who were pro-dissolution. So they wanted to make the procedure laid out in law for that kind of activity. And, I mean, you can't prevent it, but you want to, you know, at least make it everybody involved in making the decision instead of having it suddenly spring up and take the instrument. So liability, dissolution, purchase of other facilities such as these.
How about, now what is the issue with our phone company, MTA, and the Fairbanks utility?
Fairbanks, the city mayor would like to sell off the utilities operations in Fairbanks. That's his solution to the...
to the economics?
Economic problem. Even though the utilities are making money. And the problem with the parts that he wants to sell off are those that are making more money, carrying the water and sewer, which don't really make money. Heat doesn't make money, but that's because the charges are too low. But he'd like to, Golden Valley is interested in the power plant. There's possibility of a new co-op being formed, particularly the telephone company. But on the other hand, it matches up with MTA. And most of us up there have no objection to becoming members of MTA. We feel we get better service either through our own co-op or through MTA than we do from the city.
I see.
Because we're not even in the city limits, we've got no control over them. We've been essentially paying to support city functions because of our higher charges. So that's the connection. It's not, you know, I mean, not that MTA has done anything, but it's just that there's an opportunity.
I see. There. Okay. Yeah. Because I think they're having some legislation drafted to, there may be something in statutes that prevents that now, that from one cooperative buying another cooperative. They need some legislation.
Yeah, well, that would be municipal utility. Yeah, well, that's what legislation is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the merger...
the whole business.
The merger section. Right. The dissolution gets a little part of that.
The whole shot. Yeah.
So that's in here.
Yeah. Okay. So, and then the other fear of some of the smaller cooperatives being bought out by majors.
Not necessarily a major co-op, but for instance, Pacific Corporation, which owns a lot of Com and Merco Minerals and telephone utilities a lot. They've been acquiring a lot of a number of the small utility companies through the state, and they've even made approaches to some of the co-ops. I don't know if they've taken any over, have to find out for 10 months. But, co-op are afraid that, you know, that carefully marketed campaign probably doesn't support an annual meeting or a special meeting. Something of that can happen before the management, the members have a chance to really look at the economic pros and cons and get the best deal. Frankly, it's intended to make it as difficult as possible to buy out.
I see, yeah.
Well, it doesn't. Of course, there are some people afraid of it because they say, well, now that sets up the procedure and statute. Well, of course, you know, it isn't a statute, it's completely conceivable for people to do it. Procedure set out in statute at least gives you due process by which it's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so we'll review this and we're going to set up another meeting next week.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I went to Dr. Moritz today. I've been to him once.
Okay, yeah, he's a nice guy.
Yeah. He was cold before.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Good. I saw someone else that went to the dentist today. So, and, everyone says, I went to the dentist today. Yeah, that was good. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Have a good evening.
Yeah. Open the door.